Lord, we ask your blessing and help on the preaching of the word today. Use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Many Christians are curious about what goes on in heaven. One of the main activities is clearly stated in the Bible. There will be a lot of worship and praising and glorifying God, not only by the angelic host, but also by all the saved believers there. Some people who think they're going there make comments like, well, I wouldn't really enjoy just worshiping all the time, floating around in clouds, playing harps and singing. Such people ought to seriously reconsider their place in the order of things. If you don't enjoy worship and hymns down here, what makes you think you would enjoy the worship in heaven? And with such a selfish view of God, what makes you think you're even going there? Anyway, the Bible teaches that there will be great praise and worship in heaven. Let's turn for our text today to Psalm 99. Psalm 89, a masque of Ethan the Ezrahite. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies can be compared to the Lord? Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord? A God greatly to be feared in the council of the holy ones, and awesome above all who are around him. Before we get into the psalm itself, if you're not sleeping through the sermon, you probably noticed that I read the liturgical comment at the beginning, a masque of Ethan the Ezrahite. First of all, just what is a masque? Well, it's in the original Hebrew, so God put it there for us to consider. It literally means a song or a poem of contemplation. Since verse 1 of Psalm 89 starts out with, I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever, we must say it's pretty certain that here it means song, the type of psalm the Lord intended here. Also, you're probably wondering, just who is Ethan the Ezrahite? Well, he was a guy named Ethan who was from Ezra. Seriously, though, we don't really know much else about him, but some scholars think that he may have been one of Solomon's counselors. Let's look again at verse 1. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. Now go down to verse 5. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. So here, when God says, let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, it's talking about those who dwell in heaven, because God's praise, fittingly, belongs to them. So the psalm describes two different groups of worshipers here. The earthly worshipers, the ones who are on earth singing in a psalm, and the psalmist setting out a psalm here for us to sing, followed by the heavenly worshipers, all the host of heaven, seraphim, cherubim, archangels, angels, and the redeemed who have passed on before us. Yes, both in heaven and earth, they ought to praise the Lord and glorify God because he is worthy of it. He is the creator and sustainer of us all. Throughout the world, master architects have striven to build cathedrals worthy to show his glory. Musicians and poets sometimes feel an oppressive sense of failure to find notes and words adequate to compose the hymns of praise. Preachers and teachers regret the impossibility of doing him justice with feeble human rhetorical capabilities. Though he never wrote a book, more books have been written about him than all other topics combined. To try to describe Jesus in a sermon like this is like trying to empty the Pacific Ocean with a teaspoon, or like trying to describe a painting by Michelangelo to a cow. To use mere words to describe the majesty of Jesus is like trying to use an inchworm to measure the distance to the moon. Cults and man-made religions fail to produce a substitute for Jesus. Sociologists and government programs cannot fill the void in the heart of man that can only be filled by Jesus. Psychologists and psychiatrists cannot heal the wounds that only Jesus can heal, or offer the comfort that only Jesus can give. Philosophers and sages cannot compete with Jesus, who is truth embodied and the author and fountainhead of all true wisdom. The world can't understand him. Armies can't defeat him. Schools can't explain him. Leaders dare not ignore him. The Pharisees could not confuse him, and the devil could not hold him. He was persecuted, and he brought freedom. He was dead, and he brought life. His ways are right, his words are eternal, and his work is perfect. When you fail, he forgives you. When you fall, he lifts you up. When you are broken, he heals you. When you face trials, he is with you. When you face your persecutions, he strengthens you. When you face death, he brings you home. Jesus, speaking as never man spake. Jesus, by whose stripes you are healed. Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus, by whom all things consist. Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Jesus, before whom every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Jesus, to whom the noble army of martyrs give witness. Jesus, before whom cherubim and seraphim continually do cry, Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth. Jesus, our high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus, who is on all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus, who is also able to save us to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Now look at verse 6 of our text. For who in the skies can be compared to the Lord? Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord? The Holy Scriptures themselves bear witness to the glories of our Redeemer, because Jesus can be seen in every book of the Bible. In the book of Genesis, Jesus is the coming seed of the woman. In the book of Exodus, Jesus foretells the Passover lamb. In the book of Leviticus, Jesus is the atoning sacrifice. In the book of Numbers, Jesus foretells the smitten rock. In the book of Deuteronomy, Jesus is that prophet like unto Moses. In the book of Joshua, Jesus is the captain of the Lord's host. In the book of Judges, he is the great redeemer. In the book of Ruth, he is my kinsman redeemer. In 1 Samuel, he's the one that seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord God looketh on the heart. In the book of 2 Samuel, he is the Lord who puts away our sin. In the book of 1 Kings, he is the wisdom of God, the rejecter of idolatry. In 2 Kings, he is the provider of the horses and chariots of fire. In 1 Chronicles, he is the good man, the God who grants a good man what he asks for. In 2 Chronicles, he is the Shekinah glory of the dedication at the temple. In the book of Ezra, he is the restorer of the temple. In Nehemiah, he is the restorer of the nation. In Esther, he is the advocate and the propitiator. In the book of Job, Jesus is my redeemer who liveth, who shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. In Psalms, Jesus is our all in all, who knoweth the way of the upright and shall break his opponents with a rod of iron. In Proverbs, he is the perfect wisdom who calls upon us to turn at his reproof. In Ecclesiastes, he is the one who shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. In the Song of Solomon, he is the bridegroom. In Isaiah, Jesus is wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, Jesus is the Lord, our righteousness. In Ezekiel, he is the true shepherd in a time of great apostasy. In Daniel, he is the fourth man in the fiery furnace. In Hosea, he is the faithful and loving husband to the unloving and unworthy wife. In Joel, he is the God judge calling all nations to judgment. In Amos, he is the advocate of social justice. In Obadiah, he is the wrath and favor in the day of the Lord. In Jonah, he is a missionary to all men. In Micah, he is the Messiah as the God-man. In Nahum, he is the God of vengeance. In Habakkuk, he is the God of justice, providing salvation by grace through faith. In Zephaniah, he is the one who will raise up the kingdom as the Messiah. In Haggai, he is the one who will shake all nations. In Zechariah, he is the Ancient of Jehovah. In Malachi, he is a messenger of the covenant. In the book of Matthew, Jesus is the King of Israel. In the book of Mark, Jesus is the servant of Jehovah. In the book of Luke, Jesus is the Son of Man. In the book of John, Jesus is the very God of very God. In the book of Acts, he is the risen Lord. In Romans, he is the propitiator and justifier of sinners. In 1 Corinthians, he is the risen and returning Lord. In 2 Corinthians, he is my all-sufficient grace. In Galatians, he who justifies by faith alone without the works of the law. In the book of Ephesians, he is the head of the body, the church. In Philippians, he is my light, my pattern, my goal, and my supply. In Colossians, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. In 1 Thessalonians, he was the bridegroom who will return for the bride. In 2 Thessalonians, he is my everlasting consolation and good hope. In 1 Timothy, he is the true shepherd and bishop of our souls. In 2 Timothy, he is the righteous judge who has laid up a crown of righteousness for all who love his appearing. In Titus, he is the true elder. In Philemon, he is the settler of our account. In Hebrews, he is better than Moses. He is better than angels. And he is our great high priest forever who has passed into the heavens. In James, he is the judge who standeth at the door. In 1 Peter, he is the chief cornerstone, elect and precious. In 2 Peter, he is the returning Lord, not willing that any should perish. In 1 John, he is Almighty God, incarnate in flesh as a man. In 2 John, he is the truth. In 3 John, he is the strength and supply of the missionary. In Jude, he is the one who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before this presence of his glory with exceeding joy. In Revelation, he is the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now look at the middle of verse 6 and all of verse 7. Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord, a God greatly to be feared in the council of the holy ones, and awesome above all who are around him? Yet how was he welcomed when he came to earth to bring us salvation? He is hauled before corrupt men to be wickedly accused by his own chosen people. They presume to sit in judgment upon the judge of the universe. They break their own rules of jurisprudence to rush him to judgment. They falsely condemn him to death, he before whom every knee shall bow. He is mocked, reviled, insulted, spit upon, scourged with the bloody whip. He falls beneath the weight of the cross. They nail him to the cross, our Passover lamb, dying to deliver us from hell. He cries, "It is finished. The penalty for your sin and mine has been paid for. For without shedding of blood is no remission." He tells us, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Worship the King. Oh, come, let us adore him. Let Jesus be glorified. Amen.